Wake up, Hollywood. This is your host with the most, Nikki Carulla. Eddie Pence is out of town, but he will be back soon. We're going to jump right into this interview. Tonight, we have special guest writer, producer, director, Michael Matteo Rossi. Did I say that correct?
You did. Very good job.
Yeah. With a last name like Rossi, you've got to be Italian.
Yes, definitely.
Full-blooded.
Well, actually, a little bit of German on my mom's side, okay. But the dad is all Italian.
I can definitely tell you that your dad named you then because you got the Matteo in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, well, I definitely, you know, Michael Rossi is good. A lot of people say Rossi, but it could be either one. But I like using my middle name, too, so.
That's awesome. Yeah. And did you grow up around here?
Yeah, born and raised in L.A.
Oh, you're one of the natives.
One of the rare natives.
Where did you go to high school?
Yeah, Campbell Hall.
Okay.
Actually, pretty near where we're at right now.
That's awesome.
Valley. So, yeah, L.A. born and raised.
So let's just jump right into
it.
You've been doing a couple movies. What was your moment of zen? How did you get into this and know that you wanted to be a writer and director and producer of films?
Well, it's interesting because around 12 or 13, I actually did theater. So I started kind of in front of the camera on stage, and I realized that about 15 or 16, I wanted to write. And so I started to do creative writing, all of that. And then at 19, made my first short film, got into some festivals while I was still in college, and kind of never looked back. It gained some traction, little 4-minute short film, and just loved it.
What was your first short about?
It was kind of a crazy, like, little drama satire, all that. I don't want to talk too much about that because it was a long time ago. A lot of growing from there. But it's still, it was something where I knew that I wanted to do it. I didn't want to wait till I was out of college to do it. And I loved it. We shot the whole thing in 6 hours.
Wow.
So,
really?
Yeah, 6 hours.
And how long did it take you to write it?
I probably written, you know, a couple weeks, but I'm very quick with, I pride myself on being very quick with the writing, with pre-production, with everything. I mean, you need to take your time, but, you know, you can find yourself 2 years, you know, still in kind of development hell. You want to make sure that you get it done.
Right.
That's the thing. That's what kind of separates. We all want to do it. And I think the thing that separates the people who actually make it and not is actually finding a way to make it happen.
Yeah, the doers.
The doers. The action.
The movers and the shakers.
Exactly. Because people can talk a big game. People can say, oh, I have this cooking, that cooking. Show me the content.
Right.
Show it to me.
Yeah. So that's let me ask you this. Did you go to film school or anything like that?
Yeah, I went to school at San Diego State. Film school down there. I know it doesn't have the crazy appeal as UCLA or USC, but
that's all right.
I loved it. San Diego's beautiful, 10 minutes from the beach.
Yeah,
great campus.
It's a fun school.
Oh, very fun, very fun. Some of the best 4 years of my life. But so I went there, studied there, met some great people, but knew I had to come up to LA afterwards.
This is
where it's at.
It's LA and New York.
LA and New York, and basically it's LA. I mean, right. Once you've established yourself a little bit or you get a good gig in New York, but LA is where it's at.
That's true.
In my opinion. You know?
And you did your first, you know, a short that you were really excited about in your later years. Tell me, like, what that leap was like to kind of start. You knew what it was to do the bare bones first shorts, but then when you took it to another level, took it a little bit more seriously and kind of developed your talents as a writer and a director and a producer. Tell me how about that leap was like to get to that place.
Well, I feel like with each project, whether it's a short, feature, web series, TV, whatever, you want to step it up. You want each one to be better than the one before,
right.
Or ideally you want that to be. So I knew that a couple years after when I got out of college, that if I was going to do a short film, it needed to get some sort of real wide film festival recognition or win some awards, all of that. So I'd say the first kind of short that I did that had that was this short called The Last Wish. It's actually on YouTube. Anybody can watch it. But it picked up a bunch of awards, was in a lot of festivals. And I used that as leverage to pitch my first feature that I did just a year after. So, you know, it's just building blocks.
And did you just, like, build your own team around the projects? Or do you kind of use the same team that you kind of always used?
So right now where I'm at, I use a lot of the same people. Like, the DP that I use has been the DP that I've used on the last few films that I've done. So you build that up. You know, you keep the ones that you work really well with. You kind of move aside some that don't work out as well. But, yes, you build up that team. And where I am in my career right now, I'd say that I have a pretty solid team, some people that I definitely go to, and that's what I do. So it's worked out well. You know,
do you edit your own films?
I don't personally edit my own films. Very talented editor, Gehrig. He's the one who's edited my last, but I work with him very well. You know, he understands. We go through it.
That's an important chemistry.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Such
no,
an
we
important chemistry.
Our communication is very good, and I work really well with other people, even my colorist and all of that. They kind of understand the style. And again, I mean, even with my DP, my cinematographer, we've met up a bunch of times before pre-production. He understands exactly the type of look, color, everything. So that's what you need for it to be successful. Pre-production and clearly post as well. I mean, it's essential.
Right.
You know, it's key to make sure that everybody's in sync. They understand my vision and they're able to execute it as well.
How many shorts did you do before you made the leap into features?
I think about six short films, and then I knew that I needed to step it up. And you know, feature film is a whole other animal.
It's a whole other animal.
Whole other animal. Sure. I mean, just dealing with
it's a beast.
It's a beast. It dealing with SAG on a feature film level alone is
a headache.
Is a headache. SAG's a pain in the ass. I'm not gonna. I mean, they're necessary, and,
right.
and you know, you do the paperwork right, you do everything right. They're cool. You do one thing wrong, it's going to be a nightmare. So
right.
you learn a lot, but just dealing with it. And of course, as we know with any independent thing, the money,
right.
the budget, that is every independent filmmaker's Achilles heel. You will never find an indie filmmaker that will say, oh, I don't need more money. Or
the,
I don't.
The funny
you know.
Thing is, it's like what I've had different filmmakers, ones that work for big houses and ones that mm-hmm. work for indie houses. It's the same problem in different ways.
Yeah.
If you have the big film houses funding your projects, you have their opinions that you
right.
have to appease, which I also think is a little bit ridiculous because
yeah.
a lot of these film houses, they have people that were just like interns that moved their way up. They never went to film school. They never made anything serious. And yet their opinion and weight matters because they're writing the checks.
No, that's definitely right. I mean, it's a give and take. The more money you have, almost the less creative control you have
right.
because it's the higher up. It's the executive producers. It's whoever. They're saying, okay, wait, but I want it this way.
Right.
They have more say. Whereas, ironically, with a small one or you're self-funding it or something like that, you get to control. You get to control who you want to cast, how you want it to be, all of that, how you want the edit to be. So you're right. There is a lot of give and take. Fortunately, with even my features, I've had a really good amount of creative freedom for my films, which I'd like to keep it that way even when I...
That's the way it should be, right?
Yes.
It's like...
Yes.
But it's so surprising to hear, you know, any director, I love film, and it's just when you hear what any director goes through
right.
and some of the things that, you know, it's kind of like a catch-22. Some of the things that actually get released
yeah.
versus some of the things that were... You know, they weren't released because of XYZ factors. It's kind of,
right.
I think it's kind of obnoxious when anybody that is not an artist is telling an artist how to
right.
make art. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's that cliche phrase, you know, you have too many cooks in the kitchen. Everybody's going to give you an opinion. Even when you have your script, it's gone through a bunch of drafts, you're happy with it. Sooner or later, you're going to just have to say, look, this is where I want it to be. Let's shoot it. Because a script can be tweaked literally for, you know, years. And it all goes back to, like, at what point are you really going to be like, look, let's make it happen. Let's turn it into action. And that's how I am, too. You know, even with scripts, you know, they can be changed the day of, or something can be... My directing style is that I actually give a lot of my actors free range to improv, ad-lib a little bit, things like that. So
you give them a couple takes to kind of...
I do, you know, because I feel like sometimes those can be the best takes. There can be a happy accident. There could be something where, in the moment, the actor is feeling something, they go with it, and that's the take that I use. So that's my approach. Every director is different, but as long as they understand the story, my vision, all of that, you know, if we have time, I'm all for the riffing a little
Do you ever have any actors that are like, you know, it really should be this way, and you're like, this is not exactly at all what I want?
Right. You know, fortunately, most of the actors that I've worked with have been really chill. They've understood, you know, their role, the role of the director, to trust the director, just like I trust them to portray the character, right? But yes, you get a couple of those prima donnas where like, no, this is, they give your opinion, and it drives us nuts. because especially I write most of the things that I direct. So who knows the script better than me? And it's not even an ego thing. It's more like, look, trust me. I know what I'm talking about with this. So sometimes they overstep their boundaries a little bit, but you know, nothing that a conversation can't fix.
What was the movie that made you want to direct films?
It's a really good question. I grew up watching a lot of the classic films, you know, even the Hitchcock films, all of that.
I have Vertigo, sitting on my desk right now.
Vertigo, Rear Window, Psycho, all of that. That definitely did. And I watched some of the classic Twilight Zones, you know, for the show.
Great.
They're amazing. You know, they pack in, what, 22 minutes, just awesome. And I still think it's kind of stands up where it's like you can still take something from it. So those type of films. But again, I mean, even the Scorsese films and the, you know, the gangster films from you know, Godfather from '70s to the '80s with Scarface and all of that to Carlito's Way, Heat, Casino, Goodfellas, all of that. Donnie Brasco. Everything. Those type of films. The kind of crime thrillers. If I can make a film like that. Even Wolf of Wall Street, you know. Just
great film.
Those type of films, because they're everything from the music to the epic feel of them. The acting. That's the type of stuff that I want to do. And that I try to do.
Do you ever feel like genre-specific films can be limiting? Or do you feel like there are some genres that you don't want to create in?
I like to make kind of multi-genre pieces, because even if you look at, even for example, Goodfellas or even Casino, you have some of that dark comedy. You have a little bit of that satire. You have the action. You have the drama. So I don't try to pin myself on anything. I think that a lot of people nowadays, they like to do the horror films because it's cheap. It has an audience, all of that. And I think that that's awesome.
You like stories.
I like stories. I like stories. And don't get me wrong, The Shining's one of my favorite films. I mean, I love that. But it's about the acting for me. And it's about the performance and the story. So for me, I've kind of found what I ideally like to do. The powerful crime thrillers. That's what I want to do. And that's what I continue to do.
You're in the editing phase of Crash.
Chase.
I knew it was a C.
No, that's all right.
Or not an H, but it was one syllable.
See. Yeah.
Chase,
yes.
I knew I got that wrong.
No, that's all right.
But Chase, you're in the final cut of it right now.
Yeah. I'll tell you, literally on Saturday or a couple days ago, we have the final cut. So we are technically done.
How do you know when it's the final cut?
Well, you edit it together, you get an assembly cut, you put it together, then you really, you fine tune it, you picture lock it, and then that's when you go into the music, color, you know, post sound mixing, all that. I knew that it was there because it is a tight piece. I feel, obviously I'm biased, but I feel like we have a nice flowing piece. There's no kind of extra fluff. Right. It is there. It is all story. So I've been doing this long enough. I've been doing this for over 12 years now. It's pretty crazy. So I know I'm at a very happy point where now it's go time. It's sending to festivals. It's talking to distributors, sales agents, all of that. So I'm very happy with it.
Is that the part you love least?
You know, it's funny. Probably the part that I love least is literally the day after we're done filming, because this was my longest film. It was almost a month of shooting. And you wake up the next day and you're like,
Right.
You wake up and it's like, shit, back to normal,
I feel
right?
Like that when I make a record, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, there's so much I have to do, but what do I start on?
Right. And it's just like you're immersed. You wake up every day and you're going on set. You bond with these people. I mean, shooting Chase kind of on set, everybody got along. It was great. Like, I loved my actors. And to wake up the next day where it's like, wait, it's over?
There's a withdrawal.
Because to me, my favorite part of it is being on set and directing it.
Right.
That's the dessert. That's the best part.
And there's always like little hiccups. Like everything I've ever done creatively, there's always a hiccup that you're like, okay, here's an obstacle.
There's sound, there's stuff. When people see probably the end climax scene where we shot, we had a very limited amount of time to shoot it. So that was always a little bit tough. But yeah, I mean, you always have those hiccups. I'd say that overall with Chase, because I've been doing it this long, we've really tried to minimize those.
Right, right.
But these things come up, of course. Right. These things come up. Even a light, we got to get extra batteries. You know, even little things like that. So, but it was probably the best experience that I've had.
Do you shoot on film or do you only digital?
Only digital, just for the fact that A, it's still low budget. Right. It's easy. It's all of that. I'd love to shoot on film, but for right now, let's worry about actually shooting and getting the shots that we need for right now. We shot this on the Alexa Mini, so that was just an awesome camera. So okay.
How does that compare to the Red? What's
the Red and the Alexa are both pretty top notch, okay. You know, cinematic cameras. I felt like with the lighting, with the color that I wanted, all of that, I talked to my DP about it. It was the right camera. And of course, a lot of things are what lenses you use as well.
Right.
So it's cool. You know, we got some great drone footage as well. So I love it. And then of course, a lot of it also has to do with the colorist, color grading the film, because that is very important, you know? So, yeah.
So let's talk about those steps real quick. After you finish a project.
Yeah.
What's the festival that you're just, I wanted to get into this festival more than any others?
We missed the deadline for Sundance. I mean, that's, I guess, the holy grail of what, you know, but all of them. I mean, even just South by Southwest, Palm Springs, you know, there's even Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, Cinequest, Slam Dance, all of those. But, you know, these are tough, and sometimes you need to know people, or they're maybe looking for specifically one genre.
Isn't it crazy? It's all political.
It's a crapshoot. It is.
So much of it is political. And
yeah.
And it kind of irritates me because art should not be, I think good should be good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And my thing is, and I don't know if I'll get any slack for this, but it's about the story.
Yeah.
Please, like, judge the story first. Not that, what side of what spectrum people fall on, all of that. Because I feel like whatever side of the aisle people fall on, I feel like politics has kind of infiltrated in so many different things. And, you know, I like telling stories. And I understand that the politics is an important thing. A lot of set, you know, shared values that people have. And it can be depressing and all of that. I mean, watching the news now, wherever you go, I mean, it's a nightmare. And then, I see my friends fighting on Facebook, on Twitter, all that. And I'm friends with both of them.
Right.
And they're on other sides. And it's just, it's a pain. So for me, I personally think judge the content first.
Right.
Judge the content first, all of that. You know, even so, I'd like to think, don't judge, okay, I know this person or this person's in it, so they're going to get ahead of the line. Like, judge the content.
I agree. And I think a lot of it right now is, is the director male or female? Oh, is it ethnic? Where are they from? Is it from Costa Rica, or is it from Venezuela, or is it from the United States, or is it from Russia? You know what I mean? And to me, it's like, show me a good story. I play Sundance every year, and I play and see movies, and there are a lot of movie parties at the shows we play at, and I see a lot of films, and there are times where I'm like, how does this get in? I've gone to South by Southwest, I've experienced the same thing. It's like, there's so many factors and political, and as a creator, I ask you this question because it's like, how do you let all of that go and still like push yourself to make content?
You know, it's interesting. I'll tell you something that because a lot of the film festivals take kind of work in progress, so I submitted to some already, and it's interesting because a lot of them, when you're submitting, they had questionnaires. They actually had questionnaires.
Right.
And one of them, are you a female director?
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
What is your ethnicity? All of that type of stuff. And I found it interesting only for the fact that I had never seen that before. And I had submitted before. And now I got that. And first of all, let it be known. Believe me, I think that there should be more representation.
Right.
I think that there should be more female directors, more minorities, all of that type of stuff. I personally think, and everybody's got a story to tell.
Right.
100%. I think, and I hope, that still at the end of the day, judge the film first.
Yes.
Judge the content first. If it, you know, that's what I'm thinking, you know, and I know that there's great films done by everybody of all walks of life and all of that, but we should watch the film first. We definitely should get more people of all backgrounds because, right, again, it's a different perspective.
Yep.
100%. But even based on that, everybody should be on the same playing field, I think. Everybody should. So by that margin, I think that everybody should be judged by the story as well.
Yes.
You know,
I agree. That's my opinion. It's like if you have, you know, 50 amazing stories from Russia and 3 from the U.S. and you put more that are from the U.S. just to like even out the, that's
right,
bullshit.
It's right.
Like, what's the point of that?
Right, exactly. Like we want good stories.
Yeah.
Again, even for me, in terms of my casting process and all of that, like I want good actors.
Right.
I want good actors. Show me that. I don't care if you're black, blue, green, all of that. Like, show me good actors. And
that brings me to a good question. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but I also want to be authentic. Like, for example, Chase takes place in L.A. LA is a big melting pot. We're very diverse, all right, of that. So if we actually have a little scene where there's some Spanish in it, all of that, I'm not going to cast somebody that is, you know, is not Hispanic for that. I mean, believe me, I want to be authentic with
right,
it.
Right.
So I'm all about that. And we have a very diverse, we actually have a pretty international cast. We have a great actress from Nigeria. We have somebody from London. We have all of that. But again, it's acting.
Right.
I want what's right for the performance too, not just to fill a certain gap. If that makes sense.
Totally.
You know,
sense. Which brings me to my next question.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, what's your audition process like? Do you look at headshots and interview people, like, you know, to just ask some questions on their take on a character? Do they do cold readings? Do they do, like, you know,
totally,
memorize stuff?
Thankfully, I've built up a good amount of kind of relationships, network, all of that, where sometimes when I'm writing something, I already have an actor friend or colleague in mind.
That's
so
awesome.
Which is very cool. Like, I know that they're going to kill it. And in other times, I don't really do the cattle call auditions anymore. I used to, you know, where you have like a lot of people come, all of that. I will sometimes look at, you know, Actors Access, LA Casting. Maybe I'll be referred, like, hey, there's a friend of mine that I want you to check out. And if that's the case, you know, maybe they'll film a little self-tape. They'll send it to me. I'll look at it. I'll get my producer's opinion, all of that. It's funny because the lead actress in Chase, I met her, or I saw her at a premiere. She was acting in a premiere, and we got in touch. We met. We talked about it. She did a self-tape read from one of the scenes. I thought she killed it. I talked with my producing partner, showed her as well. She gave the thumbs up. And that's how it happens.
Wow,
so
that's awesome.
There's no one right way, but that's usually how I do it, you know. And then it's funny because one of the other strong supporting characters, he was in a short film that I did 5 years ago, 4 years ago, and we hadn't worked since, but I felt like, hey, he could play. He's supposed to be like this big Russian guy. This guy's 6'7". I hit him up. I sent him the thing. I said, dude, do you think that you can do this? He's like, sure. I'm like, tell you what, if you're cool with it, just do a little reading of it. Send it to me. I know you can do it, but just do that. And boom, I cast him.
Well,
so
it's good to have a network that you can,
yes,
pull from too.
Yes.
Because that's, it's kind of like having the pieces is half of it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So that's kind of my thing. Everybody does it, I guess, different ways. They can do the cattle call. They can do all of that. But again, thankfully, I'm friends with so many great actors that, you know, I can kind of choose from them and see if it works. And if it doesn't, there's always next film.
I'm sure you have friends that are like, when are you going to put me in a movie, man?
All the time. And you know, it's interesting because, you know, I'm pretty active on social media and all of that. And when I post, you know, even something about upcoming film, all of that, I get bombarded with,
right,
messages and all,
right,
of that, from friends, from people that I don't know, all of that. And a lot of them, I mean, again, most of them are
right,
sincere. Most of them are, you know, hey, please keep me in mind, all that. And I'm totally cool with that. And if they fit right for a character, I totally will keep them in mind.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing about social media. It's you're almost, everybody's accessible. Everybody,
right,
can be tweeted to or, you know, messaged or something like that. So it's kind of interesting. You know?
Let me ask you, from shorts to features,
yeah,
did you find that making shorts was a little bit limiting, or did you think there was an advantage with telling a story in a finite amount of space?
Yeah, I mean, you know, shorts, first of all, the main goal for anybody to do a short should be, you know, to maybe send it to a film festival, or it's a trial run, it's a practice run. Obviously, short films really don't make any money or something unless, you know, the short turns into a feature or something. But shorts can be more difficult because in terms of storytelling, because like you said, it has to be done in such a short, no pun intended, a short amount of time. So you have to make sure that you have still have an arc. But yeah, I mean, that can be challenging, finding a nice tight story that can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know, less, right, something like
and
that.
And then when you make a feature, how do you feel like it breathes? Because you probably,
yeah,
especially coming from six shorts into a feature, now you've got 10 times the length to make a story.
It
do
is.
Do you feel like you have to edit some of that ebb and flow a little bit, or do you feel like it's nice to let things breathe and marinate?
The first solo directed feature film that I did, it was a pretty contained script in terms of we didn't have that many locations. They were kind of longer scenes. But you know, you learn from it. And with Chase, I think it's a challenge because there's so many more characters, there's so many more scenes, there's so many more dynamics. You can't forget about a character. You need all of them to kind of have certain arcs to them. So, I mean, it's tough, but this is what I want to do moving forward, continue to make feature films. And, of course, the budget, the financing is always the toughest thing.
That's got to be an obstacle, like, from the get-go. You know?
Oh, yeah. It's tough, but you find a way. I mean, again, I've kind of self-financed, at least in part, a bunch of my features. And, you know, you get returns and then you take some of that money and you put it towards the next one. So, and then you meet other people that, you know, are wealthy, have some money to burn, that believe in your content, that like your content, and they'll share the wealth, so to speak. So it's, everything's a building block. I mean, that's the thing. People, I kind of have a proven track record. I just, you know, look at my films, look at all of that, and if they like them, awesome. Let's work together. Let's make something happen. But yeah, bottom line, I love telling stories, and I think that film is the right medium to do so, at least for me.
Awesome. You know, I want to play your reel. You've got a little YouTube clip that you sent in. I just want to play that for a quick second.
Sure.
All right. This is Michael Mateo Rossi's reel. Here it is. Yeah.
They buried me. Took away everything I ever cared for. Gutted me and hollowed me out. There's only one problem for them, though. They didn't bury me deep enough. They sent an army after me.
Freeze! Freeze!
The funny thing is, I'm bringing the war to them.
Sugar?
Yeah. Sweet too, you want some? What the fuck am I supposed to do with these?
Helpless.
No.
Yes, you do.
All right, you know what? Humor me. What is it?
It's not just the car.
Yeah, I know it's not just the car. What is it? What the fuck is it? What the fuck did you do?
He's dead.
I killed him.
You killed him. Who the fuck did you... You know what? I don't even want to know what the fuck you did. The less I know about this shit, the better. You and Sable better just get out of here, man. I don't want to have anything to do with this.
We can't go anywhere else. You handle this shit, okay? We need you to handle this for us.
Well, now's your chance, man. Go to fucking Wyoming.
You can't go to Wyoming with this shit hanging over our heads. Look. You don't owe me a goddamn thing. I know that. But do this for me. I'll be out of your life for good.
Man, you already are out of my life. You only come around when bad shit happens. How long's it been? 1, 2, 3 years? I forget.
Sable's been keeping me in check. The withdrawals have been a bitch.
Shut the fuck. I don't want to hear about your sad sob stories, all right? I deal with drug addicts all the fucking time.
Fuck you with the drug
addicts. Fuck you!
Fuck you! Stop! Hey, stop it! I'm sorry! Settle down! I'm sorry. Sorry. Okay, you just...
Oh, fuck. Hey, baby, what's up? Yeah, sorry I missed your call. I'm just waking up. Nothing. That's nothing. That's just that I didn't want to wake up the dogs, you know.
No, I know. I know. Well, you should try to come to dinner with me tonight with my family.
Tonight? No. I don't think I'll be able to do that. I promised an old friend that I would, that I would go to his event. So.
Okay, it's fine. We'll do it another time.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, tomorrow sounds great. Yeah. Dinner? Your treat?
Okay, well, I have to go because the food's here.
All right. I'll call you later, all right?
Okay, bye. Love you. This looks delicious. Thank you.
Did you really have to do that?
Of course I did. Harrison, I assume?
Of course.
Say bye to your sister for me, okay?
Bye, asshole.
Bye. Don't worry, I told her.
No, listen, Papa Ganoush. This is not your country. The only thing for you here is pain. Huh?
Yeah. You got nothing to say? Huh? You got nothing to say?
I don't speak monkey talk, do you?
Yeah, pretty eclectic mix. I love it.
Thank you.
That was pretty impressive.
I appreciate it.
You know what? Like, you know what I like is that you shot some stuff in black and white.
Yeah.
You did some kind of really demographic, focused pieces.
Yeah.
And then you did some little bit of glitz and glam.
Right.
How do you feel when you love a project? How does it kind of oscillate between what you love, the movies that you love, and fitting it into that demographic or that, you know, audience or that topic or view?
you know, it's that constant struggle where it's like, do you make a film for the audience or for the wider demographic, or do you make a film for yourself? I think it can be a mixture of both. I'm not going to compromise what I want to do just to fit or try to please the norms or something like that. My films are pretty edgy, you know, they definitely, there's a lot of violence, swearing, all of that type of stuff, but you have an audience for that. And that's the type of audience that I like. They want to see the action. They want to see the grittiness. And that's kind of what I provide. So for me personally, and I've had people, you know, who have seen my films who really like that grittiness, that darkness, but also, again, a little bit of humor too. That brings me joy because, don't get me wrong, again,
You want to sprinkle
yeah, it all. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the thing is, I love Pixar films, Disney films, all of that. You're not going to find me making a PG film. You're just not. You're not going to find me making a G-rated film. I love it, but I do the R-rated, gritty type thing. That's just what I love to do.
It's what moves you.
Exactly. Like, again, probably my favorite TV show is, like a lot of people, Game of Thrones. Right. And come on, how edgy, how sexual, how violent is that? But it's an incredible story with incredible actors.
And yet it's so current.
That's so current. It's everything. You can really relate to some things with the hierarchy, with almost the political aspect, a little bit of that too with people. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's what I like to do. So I'm going to continue to do it that way. Action, crime, thrillers. That's
like Heat. Love the movies.
Heat.
That's one of my favorites.
Heat to me probably has the best shootout of all time, I think. And that was no CGI. That was shot on location in downtown LA.
Right.
It was like literally a 15-minute
shoot. And what a cast,
shoot.
Too.
What it's a like, cast. Val Kilmer, yeah. Pacino, De Niro.
Yep.
Everybody, you know. Tom Sizemore, all of that.
Isn't Charlize Theron in that, too?
Ashley Judd was.
That's right.
I always used to get them mixed up, too. But yeah, all of that. And incredible. And Michael Mann's a great director, too. He did Collateral as well. So, it's a piece of art. So, best case scenario or, you know, dream type thing. If I was able to have a budget that I could do something like that, hypothetically, shut down a couple streets and just do an epic shootout.
Yeah, that's it.
But choreographed to perfection. Not just mindless, but for a reason, but just the audience literally captivated by it.
That's the kind of situation, like, once you're in it, even though you know you have the cut, you're going to want to keep doing it.
100%.
Just being indulgent.
And, you know, it's interesting with Chase as well. I had a great kind of special effects stunt fight gun guy on set. And almost as we were going, I wanted the main guy to do even more creative kills. I wanted that body count up, as weird as that was. But
this is going to be more violent.
You got. Well, yeah. You got a taste of it a little bit, and it looked good from an artistic standpoint. And, you know, our main character's a hitman. So, but it was just kind of interesting that way that, you know, you just get a taste of it, and you're like, wait, this is doable. We can shoot this.
Right.
Might as well. So it's... I don't know. I mean, again, there are people who don't like action films. That's no problem. But then there are people that, again, the John Wick crowd.
Right.
That if you look at, and I'm sure you've seen John Wick.
Yeah, of course.
The scenes are amazing because they are almost done in an artistic way where, you
less
get those
CGI,
long... Right. And you get those long shots where he's just going through.
Yeah.
And even, again, Collateral, him going through the club, if you remember, that.
Yep.
It's done well. It's not just mindless. There's an art to it.
Yeah.
There really is. So that's what I want to do.
Well, it sounds like you love the visuals of movies, too, not just the stories. And that's really like the finite, like... The immediate way to somebody's heart. If you
Correct.
Get the story in there and you can get the visuals in there. Now, I know you struggle with this because I struggle with this too.
Yeah.
As an artist, your audience, your demographic is, they're wanting, their attention spans less.
Right.
They want less tension, faster impact. Give me the story in less
right
time.
Away. Well. Yes. Well, again, we're in this ADD generation where if you click on a random, YouTube video and it seems intriguing, but it says it's 15 minutes long, you're going to click out.
Right.
You want that 5 or less minute type thing. So I'd like to think with Chase, again, it just keeps flowing. Right. You know, it's not long. And you look at a lot of these films now, 2.5 hours long, 3 hours long.
Yeah.
Unless it's like Lord of the Rings or something, it's got to be something.
Right.
Because we are in that period where they want it quick. And I'm well aware of that. So with my films, I try to make it flow very well.
So you cater it. Or do you still preserve your vision?
I still do, and it's a little bit of a give and take because, again, there are those scenes that, you know, purposely you keep it lingering a little bit and all of that, but then you also, it's payoff for the audience. You know, there's maybe a little bit more of a talky scene at first where not too much action's going, and then the next scene, there could be a lot, or there could be the buildup. Because you have to establish your characters first for the audience to care what happens to them.
It's the tension and release.
It's the tension and release, you know, that type of thing. So, that's kind of how I do it.
Michael, I can tell I can talk your ear off and my ears off about film because we both love film and we love arts.
Yes.
Where can people find you if they want you to direct something or if they want to watch your films or your movies?
Absolutely. Well, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's just if people look up my full name, Michael Matteo Rossi.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
Yeah, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, and then middle name M-A-T-T-E-O, and then last name R-O-S-S-I. Just my full name. You'll find me on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm pretty prolific, and even on Instagram. Just type that out. You'll find me. Shoot me a message. I'm all about collaborating. I'm all about working with like-minded people. If people look at my Twitter, I actually like to kind of tweet out a lot of inspiring or motivating type things because, you know, we've all started out somewhere and I still have a long way to go too. But if I can even advise or help any young upcoming person with even, again, any little advice, I'm more than happy to do. It's no sweat for me.
That's
so
awesome. Well, yeah. Dude, you are a class act.
Thank you.
Tremendous artist. Your new movie, Chase, coming out maybe in 5-6 months?
Yeah, definitely 2019.
Okay, cool. Yes. Well, you're going to have to come back.
Yeah, thank you.
And
absolutely.
When it's premiered and it's ready to rock, we want you to come back and give
and
us an
I'll,
update.
And I'll bring some of my actors.
Yeah,
they'd love to be here.
That would be awesome.
You know?
Michael Matteo Rossi, you are... an artist to watch for sure, and we're excited to see what you come up with.
Thank you so much. It's been awesome.
On behalf of Eddie and myself, Eddie's not here, but he will be next week. We'll see you here next time. See you guys later.